Hello, and welcome to Textual Tension. I am your co-host, Rachel, and I pop on in here every other week to give you guys some updates. Go through my usual spiel, and then give you some info about this week's episode. So, hey, let's get right into it. Hey, coming up in the next week or two, we are actually having a Patreon live stream with our third-tier patrons. If you want to jump in on that, because let me tell you, it is a blast, head on over to patreon.com/textualtension, and you can find all sorts of really fun goodies and stuff that we have and that we post every other week, every time an episode comes out. If you do support us already on Patreon, thank you. We really, really appreciate it, and you allow us to do so much more than we normally would be able to. So, sincerely, thank you very much. And hey, if you're not in a position to support us on Patreon, that is 100% cool. But what you could do that would be really helpful is, hey, maybe tell someone about us. Talk to a friend about us if you think they might like our show. And head on over to whatever podcatcher, that's the word, podcatcher you use, so like Apple Podcasts or anything like that, and leave us a review. That really, really helps us. It helps us go up in standing, and it helps more people, helps our show get out to more people. So that would be fantastic. And hey, if you want to maybe chat with us, see really neat pictures of things like flowers and books and us being dumb and my cats, check out our social media. We are Textual Tension Pod on all of them, their social media platforms. And we really like to hear from you guys. So I do my best to reply to almost every comment that we get and really just start chatting. Oh, and hey, I haven't mentioned it in a while, but we have a Discord, and we actually recently sort of restructured it a little bit. So head on over to that. There's a link on our Instagram where you can access our Discord, and we have a lot of fun over there. We've planned yacht coups. We talk about books a lot, D&D. I'll be doing some art streaming just for funsies, hang out, that kind of thing. So maybe check that out. That would be really cool. Trying to think. Anything else? I think that's just about it, at least for general updates. However, book-specific updates. Just a heads up. This episode is fantastic. I really enjoyed it. However, we did miss a couple triggers, as we do sometimes. So just so you know, suicide is a trigger in this book, and we mentioned sexual assault, but there is, like, just rape in this book. So those are triggers, just so you know going into it. And outside of that, I think that's just about it. So, hey, how about some romance novel wisdom to get you through your week? You're valid. No matter how many times the Highlander up the street tries to convince you to be his love slave, he has his own issues to work through. And there it is. So without further ado, here is episode, 66, Snackrifices.
From the inside out, so I can see myself from the inside.
Hello, and welcome to Textual Tension, a love-hate relationship with romance novels. I am your co-host, Margie.
And I'm your co-host, Rachel.
Every other week, one of us reads and summarizes a book, a romance novel that they've read for the other unsuspecting co-host. We've only done this, what?
This is 66.
So only done 66. This 60, which is I've done this 33 times. And together we unpack
what the fuck just happened. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
We say that literally every time we record remotely, and it's true.
It's true. It's beautiful every time. Mm-hmm. Because we're flawless, and we know value and our worth, yada yada mm-hmm. yada, and all
we're
that.
We're fucking professionals.
We are definite fucking mm-hmm. professionals.
This one's going to be fun because I'm listening. I'm in a spicy mood. Yes. I have whiskey and haven't eaten dinner yet. So that's going to be a good
it's
combo.
It's great.
And also, yeah. And also, Margie, you'll notice I'm recording in a different location than normal. Mm-hmm. That is because there is just a full gaggle of Girl Scouts that have set up in front of my house to hawk their siren song and their wares. And there's just so much screaming. And horn honking in front of my house right now. So if you hear cars honking their horn, it's the Girl Scouts. But at least you won't hear the screaming because I'm on the other side of the
disclaimer,
house.
We do love and support the Girl Scouts, but just not right in front of your home.
They are just... Right. And to be fair, Bitsy has thoughts. Their cookies are delicious. However, Margie and debatable. I can only eat... Okay, they're not bad. They're pretty... They're okay. But Margie and I can only eat the not-so-great ones because there's only one gluten-free one, and it's basically just shortbread. Yeah, it's, and it's not, like...
All right, Rachel, are you ready for this?
I am. Bitsy is too. She's here.
I know. Kima, my cat Kima is here too. She's actually sitting right behind me now, licking her butt. So,
oh, yeah. Good. I made a bed so that Bitsy, I knew she'd come up.
That was probably a really good idea. I should have done that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this will work. Okay. All right. So where do we begin? Where do I even begin? I think we begin, Rachel, with you opening up what the book looks like so I can tell you how I got this book, because it's a rather interesting story.
So this one was the one that originally was going to be with What the Horror, but we had some issues.
We are going to be with What the Horror, but just not for this one.
Oh.
Hi.
The book is called Kitty and the Midnight Hour by Carrie Vaughn, and that is a cover.
Oh, yeah.
So... is she a radio host? Okay, so it's a lady, and you're looking at her back, and she has a braid going down her hair and is wearing, like, a corset tank top kind of thing, which, honestly, kind of a sexy top, at least from the back.
Mm-hmm.
She's wearing leggings, but because of the particular genre I'm assuming this book is, I'm going to say they're probably leather.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very large full moon behind her, a microphone on a boom arm in front of that, with, I should say... the same shock absorbers that we use on ours, or at least similar, and a big, big wolfy boy.
Big wolfy boy. Big but Rachel, wolfy boy I can't believe you did. Did you mention the tramp stamp?
Oh my god, I didn't.
There's
see
a tramp
it.
Stamp.
Wow. Oh, I gotta get real close to see what this is.
And it doesn't look it like is. Anything.
It looks like just like a geometric triangle pointing right to the
it looks like an early 2000s tramp stamp
with a spear in the middle of it. Oh, it absolutely
like late
90s does.
Early 2000s, which is never mentioned in the book.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So it's just there for the aesthetic.
Oh, yes, the phantom tramp stamp. Oh god. Okay, all right.
So I have to mention...
Should I read the description,
oh, yes,
or do you
no,
have more
yes,
thoughts on the cover? Oh, there's not a lot here, mm-mm. Huh? Oh, God. This is a shifter
yep,
one.
Yep,
is
yep,
it? Yep, okay. Yep. Kitty Norville, which is a name, is a midnight shift DJ for a Denver radio station.
Called it.
And a werewolf in the closet.
Oh, no.
Her new late-night advice show for the supernaturally disadvantaged is a raging success, but it's Kitty who can use some help. With one sexy werewolf hunter and a few homicidal undead on her tail, Kitty may have bitten off more than she can chew.
I'm gonna go out on a huge limb here and say that admitting to people that you're a werewolf is probably not the same as admitting to your family you're gay. I just don't want that. That's like the ad that you got that was comparing coming out to your family as conservative as coming out to your family as gay.
Right.
Like, maybe not
maybe
the
just
same.
Don't liken
don't
it.
Want,
maybe
no,
just don't use the same words.
Entirely
maybe just
different
say she has a maybe just say she has a secret.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That's a fine way to say it. Just don't make that analogy.
Yeah, right.
Oh, good.
Man, if only that was the worst thing about this book. I have an...
Oh,
so,
no!
I'm going to explain how I got this book. This book was gifted to me by my friend Catherine, who is just a dear and a doll, and we both love reading, and she's given me so many great recommendations, but we were doing this thing for a while where we were actually trading books. So she would mail me a book, and I would mail her a book, and we would have notes in the book to one another.
That's cute.
So this book has notes from Catherine in it, because she read it too.
Oh, please feature them. Oh, hello, Kima.
Hi. Yeah, she's and listeners, Kima is very much just like wants
it's
to be
true.
Involved today. She heard Werewolf Shifter and she was here for it. And I had to also the way that she found this is that she searched paranormal romance and this came up. There is not a ton of romance.
Oh no.
Like there's some, but there's not
a lot.
Is
there sex?
Yes. There is sex.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Yeah. So let's get into those triggers, eh?
Oh, good Lord. I'm glad I'm in a spicy mood for you this. This really is good. This is going to be good.
Okay, so triggers. Animal violence, cult slash...
Oh, you're reading it off a list.
Yes, cult slash authoritarian control.
Oh,
sexual
no.
assault. Emotional oh, no. emotional manipulation. I think there's definitely some physical abuse in there. Now that I think about it, there's a confrontation with physical abuse.
I should have made a bingo card.
Financial manipulation or abuse. Yeah.
We're hitting all the domestic abuse triggers.
And actually,
triggers,
I have
aren't
a
we?
Psych corner and I also have a science corner.
Oh, yeah. Shit. You did a science corner. I'm so proud. I know. What is the Margie's science corner sound? It can't be the lightning strike.
No, it has to be a wolf howling.
Oh, it absolutely is going to be a wolf howling.
Okay.
100%.
All right. So, Rachel, I need you to visualize something for me.
Okay, right. Done.
You are Rose holding on to that damn door in the middle of the ocean, okay?
Get away, Jack. There's not enough room for you.
If you try, actually.
Freeze, bitch.
If you try to hold on to Jack, aka your sanity, while listening to this book, you will lose your damn mind. Okay?
We'll both go down.
You will come down with me, and I don't want you. Don't go down there with me, okay? Don't fall into Hades with me.
Well, I guess Jack and I are going to... No, I'm not going to hold on. Jack is going to
die. This book,
everybody. Leo's going down.
This was the note I made 15 minutes ago after finishing reading this book this afternoon. This book is a plot wrapped inside a chalupa, wrapped inside a Baja Blast with a 10-pack of chicken nuggies. It is bananas.
I'm not going to lie, though. What I captured from that is that, one, I just really want a chalupa right now.
And this plot just goes everywhere. Like, for 1 second, you feel like you know what's happening, and then you're like, nope, that's apparent. Oh, there it goes. It's gone. Where'd it go?
Oh, I'm so excited.
All right.
I am not going to lie. I am super ready to just put a blindfold on, be strapped into this roller coaster, and just say, fuck it. Let's go on an adventure.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure lycanthropy?
Lycanthropy?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Here we go. So we have Kitty, a short, petite, blonde-haired werewolf who also happens to host a radio show.
Someone was not being subtle with their naming, huh?
No.
Kitty the werewolf. Okay.
Yeah, and she gets made fun of that. They're like, when she first becomes a werewolf, they're like, oh God, you're never going to live that down.
No.
And she...
Go by Catherine at that point.
She's been a werewolf for about 3 years now and is part of, like, her local pack in Denver.
Oh, yeah. Sure. You know.
Yep.
The fighting wolf boys.
Fighting wolf boys. Okay.
They have shirts.
So originally, this show for Kitty, it's like just like a midnight couple of hours or like late night radio show. And she's really just supposed to play music requests. And she'll go on and say like, nothing before 1980. Okay, thanks, bye. Or like something like that. But there's one night that she tells her listeners that she's reading the Worldwide of News, which is kind of sounds like her world's version of Weekly World News, where you see things like baby angel born to couple during flight to Vancouver. Like, you know, that kind of shit.
And she's... Oh, that's so good.
And she's kind of trashing it, right? Because she's like, oh my God, like the stuff that they think is real is like not even close to what's actually out there. So she's browsing through this magazine and she's taking calls at work and someone calls and out of the blue asks, hey, do you believe in vampires? And she responds with, if I say yes, will you tell me a good story? Which is a great response to that question as a radio host.
Awesome response. Yeah. She... Okay, say what you want about Kitty, but she sounds like she's actually good at her job.
Yeah, so, and that's just the beginning. We will get into that, but this begins a short banter with that caller, which leads to another caller, which leads to another caller, and basically her whole show that night becomes a show about the paranormal, and she, like, walks away, and she's like, shit, Like, I didn't play music. Should I be concerned?
No.
The next night she comes in for work. She's like expecting to get in trouble with her boss. But her boss actually mm-hmm. is like, hey, we got a ton of calls last night. Whatever you did last night, can you do it again?
Nice. Yeah. So I'm assuming then that the paranormal are not known to the greater world.
They are
world
not. That officially. Is correct. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
So this brings in the birth of Kitty's new show, The Midnight Hour, like the title of the book.
Oh, I see. Because the radio Yay! Show. I get it.
Where and she talks about, she takes calls from people who like either have questions about the supernatural, whether it exists, or people who claim to be a part of the supernatural community.
Okay.
The show is wildly popular to the point other stations are reaching out to syndicate her show on their network. So she, wow. yeah, she has...
Damn, girl.
Yeah, and Kitty is like,
get a raise.
This is awesome. I'm going to be making so much more money. I wasn't making any before. And she really wants to go out and celebrate, like, with her quote-unquote friends, which, but her Uh-oh. Friends are only in her wolf pack now. Yeah. Okay. So she meets up with another werewolf named TJ. And he's in the same pack, but he's, like, more withdrawn. He's kind of leaning more towards the wolfy side of things, which means, like, he doesn't same. Really want to be human even anymore. But he still, like, cares about, yeah can't blame him with that. Like, but he still cares about Kitty. They're friends. He's really looked after her since she turned into a werewolf. And he's, like, and she's, like, I just want to go out and, like, dance and have fun. Let's celebrate. And he's, like, fine, I guess so.
I'm feeling... an us vibe with these two.
Never
mind.
So he's kind of turning more to the wolfy side of things. Kitty is really trying to stay connected to the human world, which is why she does this radio show, because other people in her pack just like it. It's a cult. Like, so they just join the cult, right?
Good.
And I actually, this is when my psych corner comes in. I did a little Ooh. Research on cults because I was like, that was one of the notes that Catherine made all over this book, was that because it's a cult. Like, why is she doing this? Because it's a cult.
Oh no. Oh no.
So
girl.
One of the leading experts on cults and like authoritarian, like not ruling, but control, has come up with this acronym called BITE, and it stands
perfect. That's not real.
It is real.
Oh my
and
god,
it stands for,
that's so good.
It stands for behavioral control, informational control, thought control, and emotional control. So that's how cults get you in. And there's all of these really interesting, like, some of them are, you would assume, okay, it's a cult, yeah, they're gonna try to like get you into groupthink and stuff like that. But there's other stuff.
Nexium shit.
Right, it's going to, you know. So I highly recommend reading more about it if you have time. You can go to the Freedom of Mind Resource Center and then just look up Stephen Hassan. And he's the one who came up with BITE. And he is he's an expert, quote unquote, on undue influence, brainwashing, and unethical hypnosis, and author of the best-selling book, Combating Cult Mind Control. Which sounds like
that's
such an interesting
cool
read.
Cool as shit.
I know.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. 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 So
it's
he sounds like a dope dude.
I feel like, and this is my very vague understanding, I feel like cult, like quote unquote brainwashing, is like just it's like domestic abuse taken to the nth degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's all of that manipulation and all of that, but in a group setting. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's super mm-hmm. interesting.
What was scary was one of the first things I read was that if you think that you are not, like, able to be in a cult, like, that would never happen to you, surprise, you're the most vulnerable because you will never see it coming.
No.
You got to be on the lookout for cults. And that's the same thing for domestic abuse. People never go out looking to be abused, you know?
Right.
So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, good analogy.
Cults will get you.
All right. So, but
they're hiding. They're lurking in the shadows. Scientology. Yeah.
And I, you know, the problem was I wanted to like list out all of the different signs that she was experiencing, but also in general, but there were literally too many. I was like, we'll sit here all day. Like, one of the worst things that I absolutely hate is that the money from the syndication of her show, half of it goes to the PAC. I hate that. What? Yeah. Yeah.
That, yeah. No, that's some tithing bullshit, but like in a bad way.
I hate it. So.
Oh, no.
But back to the story. All right. We're back. TJ and Kitty decide to go out. They're going to go out to a local kind of dive bar and she's going to dance and he's going to flirt with boys there and it's going to be a good old time.
Is he gay? Ugh. At least, okay, shining moment, there is gay.
Hey, you know that trope where the gay person always dies? Anyway, God, so we're going.
Damn it! No!
You have to admit, that was kind of funny, though. Okay.
That was very funny, but it was also terrible. How dare? How dare?
So they're Bitsy's chilling.
Bitsy's upset. You've upset Bitsy.
And Kitty starts dancing, having a great time, and of course she's almost immediately accosted by a vampire because they're like, this is our turf, you're not supposed to be here, you're not a human, this is our place, get out. And she's like, come on,
okay,
I just wanted to have some fun, I'm not here to like cause trouble. And she looks over and TJ's being accosted too, and she's like, great, he's no help. And because of her social ranking within like her own werewolf hierarchy, she's kind of forced. She feels forced to be like very submissive to this vampire. Remember that thing about it being a cult? Do you remember how we talked about that? Because it's still a cult.
It's a cult. It's a cult. Here's an intellectual question. Uh-huh. You've been a werewolf, presumably living in the same city for 3 years. Shouldn't you know what's your turf and what's not?
I think this is a new place that opened, so it was still kind of like quote unquote unclaimed.
Okay.
Least she had hoped so, and she was like, oh really, this is like one of the only places I could still go, please can I just have this one. So she's now, they're in trouble, right? Because she, like, they're both being basically accosted. It looks like there might be a confrontation in this club because the vampires are kind of being dicks about it. When, thank goodness, the pack leader, the terrifying, the menacing Carl shows up.
Damn it, Carl. Damn it,
Carl. I'm sorry, Carl.
Carl.
Carl is not a scary pack leader name. It's just not.
You can't kill people,
Carl. You can't
Carl.
Kill people, Carl. Carl, that kills people.
I've got a craving that only hands will satisfy.
All right, so Carl shows up. He breaks up the cold war in the club, and they all leave.
Okay. Yeah. Good on you, Roll. Carl.
So now our thanks, dear Carl. Leader, Carl, is not happy about this radio show. He and Kitty ride in the car back to back. I'm sorry, I'm just...
I'm very disappointed in you.
Sort of, yeah. He and Kitty ride in the car back to quote-unquote pack base. Well, not quote-unquote because they don't call it that in the book, but that's what I'm calling it. And he's like, listen, you need to quit. You need to quit your job and just totally join the pack for life. You know, like just join us forever and be one of us. And she's like,
one of us.
And one of us. Remember that whole thing I said that it was a cult? Okay, good. Yeah. Just want to make sure.
But what's he going to do with that half of their money?
Right, exactly. Well, that's one of the things she says to convince him. Like, no, I still want to do this. You get half of the money. The more shows that get syndicated, the more money you make.
Okay. I hate Carl.
I know. So, and Carl also says the local head vampire of the local vampire family, Arturo, which is like a much more of a vampire name.
Oh, way cooler, yeah, way of a cooler. Name, too.
He's pissed, and because he's like, I don't want this bitch Kitty calling attention to our world.
Okay.
And so Kitty's like, I don't want to quit. Please don't make me do this. By the way, I'm not going to quit. She's like, she's not going to do it. And she's like, why are you trying to make me do this? Like, are you really going to make me do this because Arturo told you no? And he's like,
oh, shots fired.
And Carl tries to frame it as, is it so unbelievable that I could have your best interests at heart? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. How many threatening calls from vampires do you think Art Bell got with his Coast to Coast with Art Bell about all the supernatural shit in Chicago, that show?
What are you talking about? What?
There is a show a radio show called Coast to Coast, and with Art, I think it was called Coast to Coast, with Art Bell, and it was all, like, people calling in and telling their weird, creepy stories and, like, all crazy stuff about, like, this is very much an Art Bell Coast to Coast radio show. That's what she's doing. Of people calling in and telling their supernatural stories. Oh, it was a wildly popular show. Like, crazy. It was in Chicago, actually. Huh. Based in Chicago.
It's in the same universe as Harry Dresden. You can't convince me otherwise.
Fair.
Yeah. So, so I hate Carl. I just want to make that very clear. Yeah. I hate him. But because of
Seems like a raging penis. Because of
Kitty's...
No offense to people with penises.
Because of Kitty's internal wolf need to make the pack happy, she basically begs him to let it stay on the air, and he agrees.
Internal wolf need.
Yeah, internal wolf
need. You mean cult brainwashing.
Yeah, just wait. We're getting to that, too. Oh, yeah, no. But in the midst of making up, he forces her to change into a wolf. They do the super creepy wolf fight where she basically becomes a submissive she-wolf, and then they have sex. Do you remember that part where I said that it's a cult? Still a cult.
Oh, shit. Is this a cult?
Wait, but you said wait.
That, okay, yep. I will admit, that is absolutely not the direction I expected that to go in. Intellectual question, real question actually, did they have sex as wolves?
No. I think
okay.
They had sex.
Well,
I think they changed back. They like did this like playful wolf thing, which was really weird to read. And then they changed back into humans and had sex.
You know, Orangey, I could be wrong. I think this might be a cult.
Oh, shit, really?
Oh, shit.
All right. Okay, and so now this is when I get into Margie's science corner.
Oh, woo!
I just want to start straight off with alpha wolves do not exist. They have never existed. They are not a thing. This theory...
Is this all about wolves?
Yes, this is about wolves.
Oh, I'm so happy. I love wolves.
So this theory was first presented by David Meek or Meech. I don't know if I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. In 1977, the whole alpha wolf thing, right? Mm-hmm. And he has literally been trying to get it debunked for years. Like, he has come out and said, I was wrong. I was incorrect. Basically, what he had done was he had made his assumptions based off of wolves in captivity. But wolves in the wild behave actually as male-female duos. And so they, like, they distribute the labor of rearing children, raising children, but also of, like, you know, all best interests at heart. So, and hold on one sec.
The prevailing view of a wolf, Canis lupus, pack, is that of a group of individuals ever vying for dominance, but held in check by the alpha pair, the alpha male and the alpha female. Most research on the social dynamics of wolf packs, however, has been conducted on non-natural assortments of captive wolves. In the study, he describes the wolf pack social order as it occurs in nature, discuss the alpha concept and social dominance and submission, and present data on the precise relationships among members in free-living packs based on a literature review and 13 summers of observations of wolves on Ellesmere Island.
That's amazing!
Yeah, I conclude that the typical wolf pack is a family, with the adult parents guiding the activities of the group in a division of labor system, in which the female predominates... primarily in such activities as pup care and defense, and the male primarily doing foraging and food provisioning and the travels associated with them.
Yeah. Huh,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So I
I love wolves, like, just because they're such interesting creatures, like, from that dynamic and perspective. But I completely thought that, like, an alpha male female kind of thing was a thing. I had no idea. The more you know.
The more you know. And it's, this study came out in 1999 after over 20 years of the alpha wolf / male belief kind of having ingrained itself in our society. And
that's
Ms. Vaughn published this book in 2005. So I can't, like, I'm not going to bash her because, like, the internet was not what it was back then. But, like, I just want everyone to know that this whole alpha wolf thing is bullshit.
That's absolutely incredible, and I had no idea, and, like, absolutely, like, I think there is a way for her to know. I don't think it's unreasonable for her to, like, not have gone and done that sort of deep research to find out, but at the same time, it's really amazing to me how 20 years of something like that can make something be so ingrained in pop culture.
Yes, and I...
That is amazing and terrifying.
So as a last note on that, I highly recommend watching... There's a video on YouTube of Adam Ruins Everything called Alpha Males Do Not Exist. And it's great, and it breaks down all of that. And then it goes into, like, human psychology, and it's just awesome. So that's how I first learned about it.
So good. Was that was a quote from the scientist that you mentioned?
So, so the thing above that was from the actual study, and you can also find that online. That's where I found
it. That's so cool.
And now you're gonna sit on it.
Yep.
Okay. So now that I've gone through and debunked all of this alpha bullshit, let's watch Kitty climb the wolf hierarchy. I mentioned before in her pack, Kitty is basically just a baby wolf. She's very low on the totem pole, and that's never really bothered her. She doesn't like the fact that she feels like she's forced to be submissive, I feel like, but she's like, I don't want to be in charge either. That's fine.
Is it safe to assume that they're going to explain how and why she became a werewolf later?
Yes. Okay. So we're actually going to get into that a little bit now. She absolutely hates the guy who changed her. His name is Zan, and he has a thing for Kitty.
Sounds like a
dick. Yeah, and he's a creep. So the next full moon, the whole pack gets together to go, like, running off into the woods and do wolfy things. Just wolfy things.
Just, god damn it, moon.
The next full moon, when the pack joins together to change, like, shift into werewolves, because that's the only night that they actually have to shift is on the full moon, but they can do it whenever
they
want.
Otherwise they can do it.
So Zan is like, hey, run with me. And Kitty is like, no, and back the fuck off. I don't want to be around you. Meg, who is the alpha female of the pack and the mate of Carl. So there is a little bit of that, you know. Gives Kitty a chance to back out of a fight with Zan, but Kitty refuses. She's like, no, he's pissing me off. I want him to leave me alone. Like,
I mean, on one hand, good on her, but and you know what bitch is like? Bitches like being forced into transformations into werewolves.
Well, it's not that
I'm sure she'll love me after that.
Not, yeah. Well, so he does transform her. She didn't know what happened at the time when she was trans. It's more right now. He's like, come on, let's go and like run into the woods and probably like end up snuggling together at the end of the night. And she's like, fuck that now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So
Zan.
Kitty fights Zan and everyone is shocked because she wins.
Hell yeah,
I know.
Kitty!
And that changes the social hierarchy of the pack, though, because he was, like, several steps above her in dominance.
Nice!
Yeah.
Cool girl.
So, when they all wake up the next morning, so they all change then, like, doing their just wolfy things. They're all clustered together naked in the woods. Yes. Yeah, Rachel, now you have a question?
I have a question, but it's...
Yep. Yeah, go ahead. God.
Okay, we're gonna leave that for a second. Did they fight in wolf form
in
human form?
Yeah.
Okay,
they shifted into wolf form. She won the fight, and then they went, like, running. She went running off into the woods.
Okay, I was gonna say, if you want to really think about it in another fucked up... Not fucked up, but another way. They were just naked humans, but with fur.
Yep.
They fought as naked humans, but in wolf form.
So
wait.
TJ, so like I said, they're all clustered together naked in the woods, basically like a group snuggle.
Is this a cult?
I think it might be a cult.
Oh shit.
So her friend, she snuggled
Is
up
he a
with,
bull rider?
She snuggled up with TJ, and I think that like she's in between TJ's legs.
It's fine because he's gay.
And TJ's like, please don't keep doing this show. It's changing you. Like, you're becoming, you know, a stronger person.
How dare. How dare you become a stronger person.
Good for Kitty because she keeps doing the show.
Good for her.
So it's another night, another show. I don't know how much time has passed exactly, but Kitty gets the call
time is an illusion.
Of her life. Someone calls and says, hey, I know who you are. I know what you are. And I am on my way up with a gun, and I am going to kill you. This is live on air.
Okay, color me intrigued.
Kitty is actually amazing when this is happening. So on his way up in the elevator to, you know, kill her, she stays on air the entire time. And she's like, hey, you do know that even though you got paid for this, you were still being super manipulated, right? Because, like, whatever happens here, even if you kill me... they're just going to make it out to seem like you're some crazy dude who just came in and shot me, and then you're going to go into jail for the rest of your life.
But she doesn't ever admit to being a werewolf.
She does. She does. During this exchange, that's what I was about to say. She does admit. She's like, yep, you're right. I am a werewolf. Like, that's why you're coming to kill me. How did you find out?
On one hand, that's a bad idea. On the other hand, I could see everyone listening thinking that this is just a really elaborate bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, I'd enjoy listening to it. It sounds fun.
It's bananas, man. So this guy, this assassin, he's like, huh, you may actually be right.
Live on air.
I won't kill you if you agree to not press charges. Because the police are on their way at this point because they're live on air.
Yeah.
She's like, sure, won't press charges. It's chill that, you know, tried to kill me. And she knows that he was really legit because she can, when he gets off the elevator, she can smell silver bullets. So she's like, oh shit, he really meant it. He knew what he was doing. So Kitty has outed herself as a werewolf to the world. So Wolf's out of the bag now.
Honestly, the thing that's most amazing is that they were able to fit that wolf in that bag.
Okay, so Carl, our favorite cult leader.
Carl. He's a
were-llama,
and you cannot convince me otherwise. He's a were-llama that wears fucking fake ears.
Well, he's a bit of a bitch, so... So... Carl comes and picks her up later from the police station because she's like made a statement and done all of that stuff. And he's like, look, you're done. You're not doing the show anymore. Quit. It's over. And she doesn't. She just keeps doing the show despite what he says.
Go. I know. Girl. Fuck that guy.
I know.
Fuck that alpha wolf bullshit.
Yeah. Right. Well.
Fucking incel. Well, okay, not because they had sex, but you know.
Here we go. Okay, so remember what I said about the plot? Do you remember that?
I do, but Margie, I'm out of whiskey. What am I going to do? That's a lot of work. Okay.
So Kitty technically doesn't know who's behind the attack, but she has her suspicions. She's pretty sure that it's that head of the local vampire family, Arturo. She's like, he probably did it like to warn everybody else who might want to do the same thing. She's like, I want to go and question him. I want to go and talk to him. I just want to figure out what he did. And she goes up to TJ and is like, listen, can you help me? Can you be my backup for this? Can you be my friend? And TJ's like, no. And I'm going to forbid you from going because even though I'm more dominant than you in this social hierarchy of wolf pack. Because that's I think this might be a cult.
Oh my God, you're right. And honestly, that's not at all a tenuous grasp on power.
Not at all.
No.
But Kitty tries to go on her own anyway. She's like, okay, I guess I'll just do this alone. And TJ finds her as she's on her way there and straight up attacks her for disobeying him.
Healthy. Yeah.
I think this is a cult.
You know, you haven't mentioned it before, but I think you might actually be right.
So that scares the shit out of her because she's on her way there to Arturo's and she's like, I can't do this alone. And I certainly can't do it if my own, you know, pack like doesn't have my back. So she turns around, she leaves. She tries to forget about it. But then another vampire named Rick shows up at her, you know, Rick, the vampire. Oh, wait.
I'm sorry. But, oh, good. Of all... Like, I get that they're just supposed to be normal-ass guys, but, like, I don't know. This is my alpha wolf pack leader.
Carl.
And his friend, Rick.
Well, this is the head of a local vampire coven, so.
Sorry.
They would not be friends, Rachel. Come on, get your werewolf vampire politics straight.
You're right. I mean, at least call him like Richard. Like Richard sounds more like a vampire. Honestly. Yeah. Because
really. If he was Richard, then he'd have to be Dick.
It's like if the entire Twilight series had Ed Cullen instead of Edward. That is the analogy.
Oh, God.
But
Carl instead of Ed, Carlisle.
Oh, my God. Rachel. Ed, I know what you are. Say it. Ed, you're a vampire. Like, come on.
Dr. Carl of the Dr. Force Carl. Hospital.
Oh, all right. It's terrible.
You ready?
Okay. No, hit me.
So this other vampire, Rick, shows up at her studio with actual evidence that Arturo did order the attack on her. So it's a thing. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, I helped you out. Can you help me out? I'm looking for this guy. His name is Preacher Elijah. If you get calls about him, you hear stuff about him. Remember that thing I said about the plot holding onto that door? Are you holding on?
I'll Let admit, go, Jack. I'm still trying to hold on. But I like him. I like
Jack. Frozen. It's done. There's not enough room on that door, according to...
He's a giant ice cube in the gin and tonic of life.
That is so dark. You know, I don't really have much respect for Leonardo DiCaprio anyway, so, like, we're just gonna...
Oh, no. Wait, is he an asshole?
He's dating girls who are, like, 20 and 21.
Oh, that's yeah. right. I forgot.
So he's, like, not that. An asshole yet, but he's, like... toeing that line.
Oh, yeah. He's on that, like, he's not technically a pedophile.
But anyway, so.
So we're looking for a dude named Preacher yes. Elijah, which also is not what you call preachers. Just, like, father, so, if she, you want to be Catholic about it.
She does find, have a little bit of stuff to give to Cormac, like, stuff that she's heard, so she's, or not to Cormac.
Rick?
Rick. And Got she's, it. She passes it, along to Rick. She's like, this is the stuff that I've heard. Like, basically, he's claiming that it can cure people of vampirism and like can't I can't say the word.
Lycanthropy.
Lycanthropy.
Faith healer. I mean, honestly, if vampires and werewolves exist, why not angels?
So,
why not? Por que no los angels?
On the show. Okay, so this is just a note that I have to make because this plot is bananas and, like, we have to put a little bit of romance in their light, right? You know, beyond the,
sure.
the cult romance.
Just sex. Yeah.
I want to know that listeners are shipping Cormac, you know, the guy who tried to kill Kitty and Kitty together.
Oh. Okay. So, legit question though, like, what was the fallout of that? Did people just think it was a bit?
There wasn't really any fallout. So she doesn't press charges against Cormac. So I'm not sure if that's how laws work. So Cormac calls the show and is like, you need to stop these people from shipping us. And she's like, aren't you listening? I'm trying.
That's hilarious, actually. I like that interaction. All right,
you ready for another bit? You ready for some more plot?
Has there been any?
Good question. Kitty is now called in to aid in a murder investigation.
I scared Betsy away. This is your fault.
Worth it. So she's called in. Kitty's called in to aid in a murder investigation. It's an 18-year-old prostitute ripped to pieces. Good. I should say it's an 18-year-old female prostitute.
Do the police believe that she's a werewolf?
They now do. They're like, well, you said on air that you're a werewolf, and this looks like very creepy and animalistic and not natural. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I listened to enough true crime to know that the police aren't going to be like, oh shit, but she said she was a werewolf. Yeah. We have to believe her.
Rachel, what don't you understand? No! What don't you understand?
What the fuck?
I don't understand. What don't you understand about this?
Oh, God. So what you're saying is it would be really bad for me to admit here in this microphone that's right in front of my face right now that I'm 600 years old.
Well, that would also be a lie, though, because you're a mermaid.
Siren, okay. Margie. Mermaid is really insensitive. You know I don't like
you're
that
right.
term.
I'm sorry. That was so derogatory. Yes, luring men to their deaths.
You know, in Ohio, famous coastal city.
Just siren things. So Kitty gets there and she does tell the police, she's like, yeah, it's definitely a werewolf. It's not someone from my pack, but it's a werewolf. This is like a rogue werewolf, which is super weird. It does not usually happen. So, yeah.
Sure, because the police have just suddenly believe in everything. Fine. Makes sense. Honestly, that's what's wrong with the police these days.
So now Kitty is in a bit of a bind because she knows that there's this rogue werewolf out there, like, wreaking havoc. And she knows that she has to tell her pack leader that this is happening.
Is this a plot?
Do you smell?
Do I smell a plot?
You might.
Oh my God.
You might.
Wow. Spot
but
plot.
She also knows that he's pissed at her because she disobeyed his ruling to quit the show. So.
Oh, I hope she just doesn't tell him.
No. In the end, she does go to Carl and Meg. Like, she shows up at their house and starts the conversation, like, very submissive and is just really pissed. And Carl is pissed at her, as is Meg. And to teach her a lesson, Carl pulls Kitty into a back room of their house to have his wolfy way with her and to remind her of her place. I think this might be a cult.
Oh, shit. I think you're right.
I don't recall them actually having sex at that point. I think that, like, they get close and they don't have sex.
So he just tortures her.
No. He like, seduces her. He, like, tries to get her, like, all okay. hot and wild so Where's that she'll Meg say anything. Well, Meg isn't thrilled, but Meg is also like, oh, but he's, like, pack leader. So, again, alpha dominance.
Excuse me.
And also, that's when Carl reveals to Kitty, like, when they're in their back room together, that it was Meg who also paid Arturo to pay Cormac to kill Kitty.
What? Okay. Hold up.
Oh, this is Attack of the Clones.
So, oh, no. You know what? Just for funsies, yeah. I'm going to real quick make this a little bit more complicated, which is to say, I would bet that Meg used the money that Kitty gave to the pack to pay Artura to pay Cormac to kill Kitty. So technically, Kitty paid to kill herself. Oh, whoa! My God.
I don't know if that was actually the case. I just know that Meg betrayed Kitty because she was jealous of the attention that Carl had been giving Kitty lately. I think this might be a cult.
So Carl, look, I love what you've done. You have a great cult going. Pretty sure it's a cult. Sure. Not 100% sure. We're going to roll with the fact that it's
Is
a cult.
Is this a cult?
But like, dude, if you're going to have this really awesome tight grip on everyone in your cult, you should probably make sure that one of them, specifically your mate, isn't going to get jealous and try to kill the other members of your cult, because that's not a good look for you. It's not a good look for you, dude. It makes it look like maybe you're not omniscient and all-powerful.
Well, so.
And I know that's important.
Carl has a counter plan, which is Carl is like, hey, Kitty, you could challenge Meg and become my mate.
How many other cult members has he been boning?
Oh, like all of them. Except he's straight. So probably only the female members, as far as I know.
So why is Kitty special?
Because she has a radio show.
Oh, I forgot about the radio show. Bitches love radio shows.
Right. So Kitty doesn't really give Carl an answer. She's just like, what the fuck? And she pushes her way out of the bedroom. And after a brief confrontation with Meg, where she's like, listen, I don't want to fight you. I'm not in the mood for this. Whatever the fuck is going on between you two, I just want to get out of here. So she leaves. At the next pack, meet and transform, which is like kind of like a cookout.
Okay, you cannot convince me otherwise. This is a fucking Voltron wolf pack.
What does that mean?
It means that one of them is four of them are each the legs of the wolf. Of them is the tail. One of them is the body and one's the head. And it's just fucking Voltron in wolf form.
Sure.
Jesus.
Believe that. At the next pack, meet and transform, Meg tries to have another confrontation with Kitty. I know. Meg is like, I want to assert my dominance. I want to control you, basically. Because, you know, this might be a cult.
That's really rude, because Agnes went to all of the trouble to make her, like, famous ham salad, and how dare you? How dare?
Messing with everything, it was Meg all along.
I don't get that reference. Making it relevant. I get that reference. But yep, now we can hashtag at
WandaVision.
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 Yeah.
Kitty Vision. So Kitty actually isn't having any of it, though. She's like, I don't want to fight you. I have no interest in being any sort of pack leader. I just want to have my radio show. Can you leave me alone, please?
She should just go off and lone wolf it.
Well, from what I recall, nothing really happens. Meg is still leader of the pack, like, because Kitty's okay. just, like, not really into it. And Kitty tries to return to her life. All right, ready, Rachel? Are you ready for a side plot? So, cool. side plot. That is actually important.
Side
and I'm going to try to get through it as quickly as I can.
Good. Give me the cliff notes.
So one night, Kitty gets a call from a frantic female vampire during her show who is trying to run away from this guy called Elijah Smith. Remember that preacher at the beginning of the book?
You know what's a really good idea? Calling a public on live on air radio show.
Yep, it's great. So the cult, like I said, this cult leader has been claiming to his followers that he can cure their vampirism or lycanthropy,
lycanthropy.
Ridiculous. Anyway.
You got it.
But this girl is actually running away from Elijah after having followed him for some time. And now her vampire tendencies are coming back because she left Elijah. And she left because she felt like she was being controlled by him. So she was like, I didn't want that. I was controlled by one person my whole life. I don't need it again. So then Kitty gets a call from someone else on the show. It's this girl's vampire master, Arturo. And Arturo wants this girl, actually her name's Estelle, to return to him. And so now it's like this weird conference call with Estelle, Arturo, and Kitty all on the lines.
Drama!
Yeah. While Estelle is desperately trying to get away from Preacher Elijah, right?
Okay.
So then Kitty also gets Cormac on the phone.
Okay.
And he's like, look, this girl needs help. Can you get out there? Can you go help her? And so now it's Estelle, the girl who's in trouble, Cormac and Arturo and Elijah all converging on this girl. There's this big confrontation. Estelle is put in between Arturo and Elijah, and somehow it happens that she kills herself. Oh, suicide. That should have been a trigger.
No shit. Yep. Okay, good. Good. It's fantastic.
It's not clear exactly how, and Arturo is pissed because he's like, you killed my child. This was a member of my family. This ends up being slightly beneficial, unfortunately, to Kitty, though, because she tried her best. She was really upset. She really tried to, like, save Estelle, and it didn't work out.
Uh-huh. Estelle is a good vampire name. Way fucking better than, like, Rick or whatever the fuck.
And Arturo actually visits Kitty at her job, like, a couple days later, and is like, thank you for doing your best to save her.
Aww.
I did contract Cormac with Meg to kill you. That's all true.
Sorry, I tried to get you killed.
He said, he was like, I wanted the radio show done, but you and I are chill now. We're cool. Like, you're cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But now Kitty is pretty pissed and terrified because she was like, I thought that Meg had done that, but now I know for sure. Like, it's...
Yeah.
And
I imagine that, like, she's having this moment of like, wow, like, this pack really isn't out for my best interest and I should probably leave it. And it's got to be hard for her because like I imagine, like, I know it's kind of a stretch, but I would liken that was a good pun. Oh, that was good.
I can't say it.
Just lycanthropy things. I would liken her leaving the pack to like someone trying to leave maybe like a cult or something, like Nexium,
I think,
or
that's
something.
Very fair.
Yeah, I know it's a stretch, but
so
yeah.
So now Kitty, she's pretty freaked out too because she's like, okay, like, I really have no one on my side right now because I'm not good with the vampires. Like, they're chill with me, but it's not great. I'm not cool with my own pack. I really don't have any friends right now. And then to make matters worse, she's attacked by Zan on her way home, who is trying reassert his dominance in the pack.
Ugh, Zan, come on.
Zan. God damn it,
Jesus.
Zan. But then
get your shit together.
TJ ends up showing up and killing him. So that's a problem that's easy.
Good on TJ.
Well, but TJ kills Zan right in front of her apartment block. And she's like, you know what? Fuck this. And she just goes, he just goes upstairs to her apartment. She's covered in blood. And she's like, nope, fuck this.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
So Kitty is in shock in her apartment, bleeding and just horrified from the whole thing, the attack, death, whatever, when Cormac shows up and is like, hey, you okay? Because there's a body outside, you're covered in blood, and you left your door open.
I have questions.
What?
Most importantly, how does he know where she lives?
Magic.
Okay, because I was gonna say, if he knew where she lived, why the fuck did he show up on a live on-air radio station to try to kill her instead
of
just,
to do
I
that.
Don't
that
know.
That was, Arturo asked him to do it that way.
Why?
You know, just vampire things.
Okay, sure.
All right, so
fine.
She like starts crying because trauma, and this is
because
when we
she's
get the
a weak little girl.
This is when we get the tragic origin backstory.
Okay,
so
sure.
The way that Kitty became a werewolf was she was dating a guy and was on a date with said guy in Estes Park, and he was driving her home, and he ended up just taking her to a secluded part of the woods and raping her. There's sexual assault there.
Good. Yeah,
you got it? That's where it happened. So she actually gets out of the car after it's over, and the guy takes off, and now she's lost and alone in the dark in the woods. And she's like, I guess I'll just, like, wait until a jogger shows up tomorrow morning, like, and they can call the police. So that's when Zan, as a wolf, finds her and bites her and turns her into a werewolf. As you do.
I mean, honestly, that's my first reaction to finding someone lost and, like, traumatized in the woods is, ooh, I bet they'd like to be a monster.
They'd like to be a werewolf.
I bet that would do, like, wonders for their self-esteem right now.
Speaking of self-esteem.
Jesus.
So we're back to the present day.
Holy segues, Batman. Holy segues.
Cormac takes off her, like, cleans off her wounds, like, gets her all patched up. They kiss, and she tries to get steamy, and he's like, ew, no, you're a werewolf. Do you see? That's where the romance is, Rachel. That's where the romance.
Oh, shit. That's where it is. Good. Yeah. Honestly, though, like, based on some of the books we've read, that's romance.
So,
ew, gross.
Tries to leave, but the police arrive, like, right when he's leaving. They're like, hey, about that dead body right in front of your apartment building.
Whoopsie doodle.
Whoopsie daisy doodly do.
Doodly do.
Somehow, miraculously, she gets off for the murder downstairs scot-free.
Wait, but she didn't do it. TJ did.
She didn't do it, but there was blood evidence on her person and, like, on his nails, because he trains back into a human.
Rule number one, shower, motherfucker.
Yeah, that would have made way too much sense.
Yep.
And also, there would have been clothes in her apartment, like, or whatever, covered in blood. So.
Right.
And the police are like, hey, we know you know who actually murdered that guy, so don't go looking for him, okay? Like, don't. We're not going to be able to protect you. She actually has a lawyer, and the lawyer is like, I'm not going to be able to protect you if.
That was real fucking fast.
Cormac recommended this guy to her.
Okay. Yeah. Is this the next day, or did he no, just show that up night, at her apartment?
Because they were, like, at the same station, so he was like, I guess I'll represent you too.
That's how lawyers work.
Yeah, that's how lawyers work.
Makes perfect fucking sense.
And,
goodbye, Jack. I always loved you. Nearby,
you are. Your husband's gonna be like, what the fuck is happening up there? Okay.
Oh god, he might be making shrimp for dinner right now, which is good because I might need more whiskey, and I already had two glasses.
All right, so you know how the
5:30,
you know how the lawyer said don't go looking for the guy who murdered that other guy?
Margie, did she go looking for the guy that murdered the other guy?
His place.
Okay.
And he's.
But she knew who it was. It was TJ, who's, like, gay and awesome and gonna die.
Well, so she talks to TJ, and he's like, look, I'm going to run off into the woods. I'm gonna go full wolf for a while since, you know, I murdered a guy, and just, like, maybe come back when this all blows over.
Honestly, solid plan. Because they're not gonna convict a wolf of murder.
Well, so also, they have, like, superpowers, so they can run super fast, and, like, he can probably get away and live in the woods forever. So,
yes.
Now Kitty is really sad, because she's like, I literally don't have a friend in the world right now. Like, I have no one in my pack. I've lost my best friend. He's gone off to do just wolfy things.
You have McCormick Paprika.
You're right. She does have oregano. But,
yeah,
but, like, he's not even,
you know, Cayenne, that really cool McCormick guy.
He's not even really a friend. Remember their first encounter, he tried to kill her. And then when they kissed, he was like, ew, you're a werewolf. Gross.
Yeah. But, like, they kissed. And isn't that what friends do?
Hey,
Margie, I've always thought of you as my own personal time. my dear sweet Bayleaf.
Oh, gods. Okay. All right, so
Jesus Christ.
So Kitty actually, like, after that whole police thing, after seeing TJ, she just goes home and goes to sleep. She's like, I hope I wake up in the morning.
Same. I know. Though. I would have done that.
And the next day is surprised that she's like, hey, everything is sort of okay. This is miraculous. All right, I guess I'll go
to work. I'm alive.
Yeah, because she's like, Meg is going to kill me. Something's going to happen. Like, it's all coming together for me. And so, but she gets a call at work, the next guy, and it's this guy, James. And James over the phone is basically like, yes, I am a werewolf and I crave violence.
I crave blood. Man flesh.
So after the show is over, Kitty calls Cormac and is like, hey, I found our rogue crazy werewolf. You feel like doing some murder tonight?
That is quite the assumption to jump to.
Right.
Okay. Oh, shit. This guy, like, called and, like, seemed kind of sus. That's like a fucking Among Us level, like, oh, nah, dude's totally sus.
Totally sus.
He, Red was not the imposter.
So from the caller ID that they get at the radio station, because this is how science works, Cormac and Kitty trace this rogue werewolf to an address. And when they get there, the guy James is like, whoa, you're Kitty. Oh, yeah, I totally murdered all those people. But I did it because that chick Meg that you know, yeah, she wants me to usurp your pack leader and become pack leader myself. Does this make sense?
No, but it's not your fault. Yes, it does. Okay. It makes sense in a yarn on a corkboard kind of way.
So Kitty chases this guy down as a werewolf in the woods. They fight. She kills him.
Good on her. Yeah, not gonna be a fucking good pack leader, huh?
Right, nope. All right, so Cormac drops her off at her apartment, and she goes to sleep again, and she wakes up, and she's like, huh, I'm not dead. Crazy.
I'm still alive. God. Wow.
And then good the next day, you. Kitty goes to see Carl, and she's like, look, your lady tried to have me killed, and she was going to try and have you killed so that this crazy dude could take over your pack. Can we please get rid of her now? I have no desire
Carl.
To be your mate or whatever, but I don't want her around. And Megan then shows up after Carl, and she doesn't confirm or deny any of this. What she does do, which is actually kind of clever, is she grovels at Carl's feet and is like, begs him to fight Kitty on her behalf.
Oh, Kitty. Murder this motherfucker. Your name is way better as a pack leader than Carl's.
Well, so, I mean, like, low bar. But,
I mean, fair.
But that works. So Kitty is forced, basically, to try and fight both of them. But then guess who shows up?
Oh my god, is it Basil?
It's TJ.
Oh.
Remember what I said at the beginning about the gay sacrifice? No.
Gay sacrifice.
Yeah. So, Carl rips out TJ's guts, like his organs.
How fucking dare he be gay?
How dare?
Well, okay, listeners, that was 100% stupid. It was 100% stupid, sarcastic bullshit because I myself am bisexual.
Well, so, and...
the fuck?
But there is this thing where it's like in media where the gay character is sacrificed or dies on behalf of like the growth of the main character, and it's bullshit and I hate it and I'm tired of it.
Fuck that shit. It's
dumb.
Yeah,
it's really stupid. So after TJ dies in Kitty's arms, Carl kicks Kitty out of the werewolf pack.
Dude, honestly, best case scenario. Seriously. Not with him dying.
Not the guy dying.
But with her not having to deal with the cult. Right.
Well, so at the end of the book.
I meant pack.
So at the end of the book, Kitty is on the road traveling from station to station doing her show. And she's getting to keep all of her money because she doesn't have to give
it
back
to.
I think it's a cult.
Dude.
Because she had to give her money back to the pack. I think that pack is actually a cult.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, think about it.
It's not a cult. Yeah. Margie, it's just a collection of people that really enjoy sharing their money together and also enjoying each other's company. How dare you insinuate that the thing that I am a part of is a cult?
Are you in Scientology?
I'm clear.
She's... But at the end of the book, she is called to Congress to answer questions about vampirism, like lycanthropy, and other paranormal conditions. The end.
Okay, I have questions. One, where the fuck was the romance? I really, honestly,
personally, as paranormal romance, according to my friend.
Oh, 100%. I still shipped McCormick, like fucking Rosemary, and her. But I'm actually kind of upset they didn't get together. But two, if Congress believes, Like, let's get it straight. America's fucked anyway, yeah. But if Congress believes everything that is said on a fucking radio show, then we are extra double plus fucked.
Yeah. So honestly, shit, I'm like, right. That bothers you? I'm like, no, that does not surprise me at all. Yeah, drink more. So, and by the way, there are 10 books in this series.
What? Yeah.
That was book one, obviously.
Okay. So I am very curious about the sex and how it's described, because like this book, I truly believe that the only reason it was marketed as quote unquote romance is because there happened to be sex in it.
Yeah.
And because there happened to be sex, the author was probably like, oh, I bet I can get this audience and market it towards That's romance, true. Even though there's not really a romance in it. So I am very curious to see that bridge. Because, like, I bet they describe the sex, don't they?
As far as I remember, they do. We'll do it in Under the Covers. So let's do some reviews, eh?
Yeah, I honestly legitimately don't know what to make of this book.
I feel exactly the same
Bitsy
way.
Bitsy doesn't either.
So we're just going to review Kitty because
there isn't really a love it. Like, there's Carl,
Carl is a baby douche canoe. So yeah. We're not rating Carl. We're not rating McCormick and Schmick.
or dating.
Because we also don't really see him much in the book and there really isn't an established romance. So I'm just going to rate Kitty. And I would give her like a 5 point. Wait, no. It's 1 out of 5. Come on, Margie.
One out of five.
I'm going to give her.
Get your shit together.
Somewhere between 3 and 4.
Yeah, okay.
Higher than you would expect. That's pretty good. Considering that it's completely from her point of view, like you understand all of her decisions and she's like a strong character because she stands up against this, I can't believe I'm going to say this, a cult. Essentially.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, wow. I'm going to do my own thing.
I'm so surprised you made that jump.
I know. so the plot, is it even a plot? You know, I think that...
There isn't a plot.
I think if Carrie had picked one, if she had picked the rogue werewolf causing trouble or Preacher Elijah causing trouble and focused on that, it would have been much better. But she needed to pick one. There was too much going on.
Well, and absolutely. And I think that If you want to be generous and pick out a single plot, it would be Kitty's life, essentially, which is fine. I can't believe I'm about to make this analogy, but it's almost like a Ghibli thing where it's like, there's not, which is a very Japanese thing, where it's like, there's not a conflict. It's just, this is, you know, a slice of life kind of thing. Mm. But in this case, it was like they tried to marry the two between, oh, no, there are all these conflicts. And also it's a slice of life. And you can't really do that. You have to have one or the other.
I know you're not a fan of the series, but I love it. And deep down in my whole soul, the black hole of my soul is Harry Dresden. It does remind me a lot of Harry Dresden. She kind of did. She's not... It was less in Harry Dresden. It's much more of like a, how much can we destroy Harry Dresden physically, emotionally, psychologically in this one book? And in this book, it was more like how is she going to stand up against her wolf pack? Which is just.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think that if they had taken that position, it would have been way better. Uh-huh. Like, even with Harry Dresden, like, yeah, I'm not a fan of the books, but even those books, at least the first one, which I've read, there was a defined, he is trying to figure out this thing,
right,
and
exactly.
It is the problem, and there's something to move towards with the plot. In this one, it was like, they couldn't decide between, I'm going to make this character-driven versus I'm going to make this plot-driven, right? Yeah. Like, even if you have a plot-driven book, you can make amazing character development, and vice versa. Like, you can have a character-focused book that has some interesting plot things happen, but you have to commit to one or the other, right? And I feel like they just never committed.
Right. Yes, that's what it feels like. And I think that they were trying to smush in too many ideas into one book. So,
and I think that this also, sorry, finish your thought.
So, well, the only other thought I have is, like, the final review of the plot, which is probably, I mean, 1 or 2 out of 5. I think 2 right. is pushing it. I think you can say that it has a plot, which is why I would give it a 1. Barely. I think it barely has a plot.
So, you were looking it up. Was there sex in it? Did yes, it describe the
I
sex?
I didn't find the sex. Damn it.
So, how was the sex?
I don't like it at all. It's okay. uncomfortable.
All right. Good. Good. So... Yeah. I guess I think that this actually is an interesting thing, that it's probably one of the first books that we've covered that's like this, where it is just a supernatural book that happens to have sex in it that is marketed as romance. Yeah. I think it's the first book that we've experienced where it's not a romance book, but someone is like, oh, but if I throw romance in there, I'll get this entire
And you have to wonder, group. Too, if, like, it's a slow burn romance where over the course of 10 books, she finds it a lover be. Or multiple lovers, and, like, that's another so plot that we just haven't gotten all of to
the,
yet.
Do most of the books cover her?
All the books are about her. All of them, like, oh, the second one see, is
that's
called,
interesting.
The second one is called Kitty Goes to Washington.
Okay.
Yeah, Kitty Goes to Washington.
Huh. All right. Yeah. Okay. I could, okay. That's, I, benefit of the doubt is saying that, okay, I'll call it romance because maybe there's a romance in a future book, but still, that's like, that's kind of pandering.
Yeah. Yeah. It's again, pandering. It's gonna, I'm gonna liken it to Harry Dresden and say, I wouldn't call Harry Dresden a romance novel, but it has romance in it. Like, it's romance in later books.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, coming from someone who writes a little bit, I think that Carrie Vaughn actually does have some promise. I think that absolutely. Probably, if this is her first book, I would be interested to see mm-hmm. what she wrote in later books. Because I'm sure that, like, if she's a writer worth her salt, I'm sure that she got critiqued on this book. So she probably knows now, especially since this came out in, like, 2005, I think. That it wasn't perfect. So, you know, check out other stuff really, in the future by Carrie Vaughn, just not this series. Maybe not this one.
I would really be interested if you went and read one of her, like, most recent books and did an episode on that. I would actually be really curious about how she developed.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
I think we got it.
A virtual high five. Woo! Bink. That's the virtual high five sound.
All right.
Hey, Margie, real quick. What else have you been consuming over the past week? I know I saw you on Saturday, but, like, you didn't tell me. Okay, you did tell me.
Oh, my God. What else have you been consuming? Listeners, so I did go on an online comic reading binge, and I did read that comic Under the Oak Tree. And
I've had gotten so many ads for it.
I had so many thoughts on it. I still have thoughts on it. I still have extremely mixed feelings on it.
Oh, God.
But because, Rachel, I am ADD, of course that's not the only thing I'm going to obsess about.
No. What else have you been doing?
So I'm currently obsessed with Fruits Basket because it's back on Hulu. There's more episodes on Hulu.
Is it really? Oh, my God. So, yes, please, because I actually grew up reading the manga.
I know. Me too.
Middle school, that was my jam. Like, my friend Megan, shout out to Megan, who I've been friends with since, like, fourth grade, loves Fruits Basket, and that was actually, she got me onto it, and I remember reading it, but I was such a bundle of anxiety that I couldn't finish it.
Well, yeah, so it's back on, so I've been watching that, and then I did finish WandaVision, so that was very fun.
Oh, you've been doing a lot of stuff.
And the other thing I've been kind of obsessed with is, you need to get off the mic, my love, is the Titanic. No. So I pulled out a bunch of books from the library about the Titanic.
So this is relevant then.
Absolutely.
Your Titanic analogy. Yes,
absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah. And hey, if you think that this kind of banter is interesting and would be interested in hearing us do more of this, hey, check out our Patreon because we do monthly live streams where this is basically
what we talk
what it
about.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, you know what? For the next one, I could go into Under the Oak Tree.
Yes, do it. And I still need to make my list of top 10 fictional bows. Hey, we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
This was a ton of fun. I'm glad I was spicy and drank 4 shots of whiskey in an hour. It's fine. And hey, Aelin Nerriu, thank you for the use of your song, Oh Love, off the album Be Held. It's a wonderful tune.
All right, guys.
Hey, we love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening. And I know that it's said usually in the beginning of these, but hey, if you could leave us a review, that would actually be great. It helps us a ton. We would really appreciate it. And tell your friends about us. Yeah. Hey, we love you guys.
Love you. Bye!